Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
We're not here to say this is easy. We're not here to say, hey, if your marriage is hard, just get divorced and be a co-parent. That's not our message at all. But what we're trying to do is really give moms and dads strategies how not to hurt their children more, how not to put them in the middle of the important parenting work that they need to do, and then how to launch them into whole and healthy lives so that, Lord willing, they'll have a chance to go on and have a traditional marriage that lasts their whole lifetime.
Words of wisdom from Tammy Daughtry to open up today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Tammy knows firsthand what the co-parenting season is like. She was married, divorced, has a daughter, and then remarried again, and understands what it's like to try to maintain a healthy relationship with your ex. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're going to talk about some tips for successful co-parenting. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, taking the reins on this program today because of the situation that I'm in too as a co-parent. And Tammy and I had a delightful conversation not too long ago at the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida. I want to give you a chance to hear part one of that discussion right now. So let's get into it. Tips for successful co-parenting here on Homeward. Today on Homeward, we're going to look at an issue that it might be a new term to some people, but it's certainly not a new experience. And my guest here is an expert in this, Tammy Daughtry. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Nice to be here today.
You wrote a book called Co-Parenting Works, and I think that that's the most optimistic title I've ever heard. Because and you put an exclamation point on it, too, because there are some people who say, hey, first of all, I don't know what co-parenting is.
Sure.
And second, how could it possibly work? Because that implies that there's been a divorce.
Mm.
So first of all, let's talk about co-parenting. Give us the working definition. Since you are now an expert on this.
Well, co-parenting comes back to, I'd say the majority of the time, it is parents who have divorced and are still involved in their children's lives. It could be parents that have never married. There's a rising trend of this, you know, younger generation who have seen the devastation of broken families, have decided not to marry. They have children. And then when they split or don't, you know, continue on, they are co-parenting, though they've never legally been married.
They've kind of been co-parenting all along.
Sure. Sometimes under one roof, but then when they decide to live in separate households.
Yeah, so that's separate households is the key.
Separate households. Okay. And the other interesting thing in the work I've done, I've actually worked with couples who were married, couldn't have their own children, adopted kids, and then for different reasons have ended up divorced. So they're not the biological mom and dad, but they are the caregiver, the legal custodian. And then, of course, grandparents play a huge role in co-parenting because many times they're the primary caregiver or they're the backup parent. So co-parenting really pulls a village of people together who love kids who live in two homes. And that's the core issue is how do we help these kids live well between two different households?
I think of the grandparenting issue. Last study I read on this said that there's about 6 million grandparents who legally have custodial parenting responsibilities. Mm. And that doesn't include the ones who are providing daycare after school or, you know, the fact that maybe mom and dad we have friends in our world who she got a job with a company where the company had to consolidate the local office and they moved several hundred miles away still in the state. And so dad found a job up there too. And so the kids are actually splitting time with, they've got grandparent issues during the week. And this is not that the family fell apart.
Right.
But Monday through Friday, grandma and grandpa are really mom and dad.
Mom and dad.
And that's a co-parenting situation too. Because they're two different homes.
Right. So. Well, and it's complicated. And I always say it in any interview or any conversation, I certainly don't have one size fits all answer to all circumstances. But what I tried to do is help pull important research into everyday language that moms and dads could understand and really get a hold of what are a few things we can do well so that our children will not become the statistic of a divorced child. Mm-hmm. We all know the bad news on that. And we're not here to say this is easy. We're not here to say, hey, if your marriage is hard, just get divorced and, you know, be a co-parent. That's not our message at all. But what we're trying to do is really give moms and dads strategies how not to hurt their children more, how not to put them in the middle of the important parenting work that they need to do, and then how to launch them into whole and healthy lives so that, Lord willing, they'll have a chance to go on and have a traditional marriage that lasts their whole lifetime.
Okay, now credentialing, let's start this out, because the first thing I always gravitate toward when I read a book like this is, okay, who are you and what gives you the right, I mean, what gives you the authority to talk about this? So
sure.
First of all, we can establish the fact that co-parenting is important to you because that's your story.
Sure. Well, and I think I certainly have many credentials. I'm the founder of Co-Parenting International. We launched in 2004. We brought in counselors and pastors and leaders to talk about these topics. Went on to grad school, have a master's in marriage and family therapy.
Excellent.
But to the moms and dads that are listening, I think what matters most is I've been there.
Mm-hmm. As a divorced parent and also as a child of a tough marriage.
Yes. Yes. I grew up, my folks divorced when I was about one. And so I won't tell you how old I am, but my whole journey, I have had mom and dad in two different households, but most of my life also in two different cities, about an hour and a half away from each other out in Colorado. And then I went on to get married, and unfortunately, 8.5 years in, we were at that same fork in the road. And so our daughter was about one. She was two when it was final. She'll be 13 this year. So I have been a co-parent now for about 12 years, the year we were separated and then the years we've been divorced. And so, again, not here to say I have it all figured out, but 11 years ago when I was in that fork in the road, just thinking, is there any hope? How in the world are we going to do this? Honestly, this is the book I wish somebody would have told me about. I wish they would have said, Tammy, there's still hope. There's strategies you can do. John and my daughter's name is Angelia. Her dad's name is John. I wish someone would have said, here's a roadmap for you and John to follow. Someone, you know, 10 years ahead of us that knew how to do this. So that's, you know, the credentials are important for some folks, but it's really my heart and my life passion to be the voice for children of divorce, whether they're 7 or they're 27, mm-hmm. and just help parents and caregivers and even help educators understand what are the unique needs of these kids.
Yeah. I think about your story of knowing that you and I have that common bond now, not with the kids being that young, but, you know, in the co-parenting season.
Sure.
And I think that a lot of times when you mention divorce in a family, the thought is, okay, mom and dad divorced. Here's the stereotypical, this is kind of the Ozzie and Harriet version, I mean, in terms of the way most Americans think.
Mm-hmm.
There's a divorce, so dad packed his bag and moved out, and now he has a girlfriend and he's living in an apartment somewhere.
Mm.
Mom's at home, she's the primary caregiver for the kids, and dad shows up every now and again and plays Disneyland dad and buys him a few nice things and makes mom really frustrated. Now, that's a horrible oversimplification of what happens, but yeah. I think in our heart of hearts, when you say divorce and co-parenting, the first thought is one parent is doing all the work and the other one shows up for birthday parties. And that's not what we're talking about here with co-parenting, because more and more parents are saying, hey, okay, the marriage didn't work, but we still have this kid, these children,
right?
And we need to be more involved.
Right. Well, and I have yet to meet a parent who doesn't absolutely love their kids. They may still have issues for the rest of their life with their former spouse. But what I try to really help parents focus on is, do you love your children? And if you love them, are you willing to do whatever it takes to keep their heart whole and healthy? Even if it's inconvenient, even if it's not fair, even if it doesn't feel right in the moment, because so many parents are still angry at each other or trying to get back at each other for things that didn't go well in their marriage. And what we try to help parents do is look beyond that and think completely and only about what is absolutely the best for your children right now today, and also how will these decisions you're making or these schedules or these choices that the parents make, how will that impact them in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now, and 20 years from now when they look back? So that's the perspective we try to help moms and dads look at. And there's also the parent who, kind of in what you said earlier, there are many cases that there is one parent just doing most of the work. But even to that parent, this book is completely applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think 3/4 of being a great co-parent is being a healthy parent as a single. Mm-hmm. And so that's a hard journey all by itself. And I'm very passionate about dads and their role in the life of a child. I'm very committed to how important moms and dads are to these children. And my message to moms is, please don't make it so hard on the dads.
Mm.
You know, so many times mom wants to be the hero. Mom wants to be the good guy. She wants to be the favorite parent. But when she has that perspective, it's hurting her children. And my message to moms is, don't make it so hard on the dads. And the reverse is true.
Mm-hmm.
I will say to dads, you know, please support and respect the mother of your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the primary caregiver as a dad, be an amazing dad and then celebrate the fact that they still have a mom that loves them. Mm-hmm. Because there are many single fathers who are primary caregivers. I know of several dads who have walked that journey, and mom checked out. She moved away or just kind of unhooked for a few years. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of amazing single fathers who have stayed in the game, you know, whether it's a microwave dinner with a frozen burrito or, you know, however they play that out, they're doing a great job raising kids. And so our message to both is be an amazing parent and then help foster healthy interaction with that other parent so that your kids truly are free to love you both.
Well, you have written a great book, and we're going to get into it here as we continue. But on the other side of this break, I think it's safe to say, as we're coming up on this first break, that if there's one bedrock principle for co-parenting that works, first and foremost, it's make sure that what you're doing is best for the kids.
Mm, amen. That's it. Absolutely.
We can start there, and we're going to build on top of that as we continue. Tammy Daughtry with us, the founder of Co-Parenting International, and she's the author of the book, Co-Parenting Works, Helping Your Children Thrive After Divorce. And we're so glad to have her on the program here today.
Thank you.
And as we hit the midpoint of the program, I want to remind you that if you go to homeward.com and you are a single parent, you're in a co-parenting situation, we have resources for you, resources available that you can check us out online. Go to the articles and media section at homeward.com, and where it says get answers in that tip sheet box, just write co-parenting or single parenting or how to deal with your ex, and you'll find a number of helpful tip sheets and articles, things that you can access with no cost or further obligation. You'll find them available to you at homeward.com. There's more Homeward still to come. Do stay with us.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
So have you told the kids yet?
How can I?
But Mayor, you have to. I mean, haven't they begun to notice that their dad isn't around much anymore?
The truth? They're so used to him being gone so much, I guess it's not that big of a deal to them.
Have you talked to him about custody of the kids?
No, but I want to be sure the kids stay with me. If they only knew what a jerk he's been to us, they'd hate him as much as I do.
If you're divorcing your spouse, it's important to remember that the two of you made the decision to separate. Your kids didn't. And while I know you're in a difficult position, you really owe it to your kids to talk the situation through with them, rather than putting them in a position where they have to choose between mom and dad. Make sure they hear you say your divorce had nothing to do with them. Tell them often how much you love them. And if you'd like to read my tip sheet called Tips for Helping Your Kids Deal with Divorce, you can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Today on Homeward, we're having a conversation about co-parenting. And if this is a new term for you, especially if you're in a season of divorce and maybe you've got kids and you didn't realize you were co-parenting, we have an expert here to address the issue. Tammy Daughtry is with us, the founder of Co-Parenting International, which was literally born. This is, I do a pastoral internship at my church, and one of my fellow interns says, we don't get volunteered, we get voluntold. Mm. About what happens. And it's
yes.
Usually the person who comes up and says, how come we don't have this kind of ministry? To which the council looks and says, okay, why don't you run it?
Right.
And so I'm not making light of your situation, but having worked in event planning and Christian media for years, going through a divorce yourself and then saying, where are the books? Where's the help? And next thing you mm-hmm. know, you're in a graduate program for marriage and family therapy. You're starting this ministry. You're writing these books. I'm glad you did. Somebody mm-hmm. had to. I mean, because there are so many people who are finding themselves in this season now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there are millions of people who will go through a divorce this year in the church and outside the church. It's everywhere. And unfortunately, there is so much pain that the parents go through, the children go through. But I honestly look at my life now and I say, wow, I believe God had a plan mm-hmm. from the beginning of my life story. And he knew that he could take the pain, he could take the hurt, and turn it into help and hope for other people.
That's an important message for divorced parents in particular, because we read the scripture that says God hates divorce. And so then we just automatically fill in the blank. So therefore, God hates me.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's no way I'm ever going to be fit for kingdom service. Mm. And it's hard to get that stink off of your being.
Oh yeah. Well, and I remember being there myself. That first year of probably the darkest year of my life was the year we were separated, trying to figure out how this was all going to work. And I knew that God hated divorce, but what I knew people Well, it just seemed that people were, you know, reminding me of that as if that was going to fix our marriage. Mm-hmm. And we had worked hard on that marriage. We'd been in counseling for 5 years. We were both, you know, wanting to have a lifelong marriage. That was neither John or I grew up and said, hey, well, let's get married a few years and just get divorced. That was not our life plan. We believed God to heal and resurrect that marriage. And yet when we came to that fork in the road, what we both had in common is we love our daughter and we would die for her. Mm-hmm. And so, when I was sitting in a counseling office, actually, during our separation, I asked Steve, the counselor we were with, where can you point us to a book, a DVD, a class, something where John and I can learn to work well together, learn from what other people have done ahead of us, and raise a beautiful daughter. And he actually said, Tammy, he said, I don't think you need to read a book. He said, I think one day you're going to write one. He said he'd been a counselor about 15 years. He said, I've never seen two people go through your particular circumstance and still be this Christ-like for your daughter. He said, she's going to be okay, and you'll probably lead the way one day. But at that point of my pain and darkness,
yeah, you weren't hearing that.
Oh, I wasn't hearing that. But I did hear that he saw there was hope for Angelia. Mm-hmm. And that day I walked out with a tiny nugget of a vision that the person that knew our story best still saw there was hope for my daughter. That's all I cared about, was Angelia going to be okay? And so, like you said, I started asking all the leaders in the industry, the people I'd worked with. I was an event planner, my life plan. I was just going to retire doing events for other people. And then eventually into 3-4 years into that journey, God said, Tammy, speak up, be a voice for children, be a voice for co-parents, do something about this. So it's an honor to be called into this ministry. It's very unique and different. Yeah. You know, you go to grad school for marriage and family therapy and you introduce yourself to your colleagues and you say, well, I'm here because I want to work with high conflict divorced parents that don't talk to each other. And they think, what?
What's wrong with you?
That's unique.
Yeah.
But it is an absolute honor to work with folks one-on-one in classroom settings, seminars, conferences. Mainly, I want those parents especially to know God does not hate you. Mm-hmm. Yes, he hates divorce, but the reason is because it hurts his children.
Sure.
He does not remove his love from us. He does not turn away from us. Even if it's the parent who caused the divorce or made the choice to leave or whatever the circumstance is, the Lord's love isn't gone from our life. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are consequences to sin. There are consequences we walk through. We need to repent and get healthy, whatever those circumstances are. But the Lord loves his children, the parents, the children, and he will bring redemption and bring healing through time. And I'm thankful to say that I had the opportunity to go through all of these hurts, because otherwise I would just be planning events and not stepping into this hurtful place that people need to know there's hope. And it's what I needed 11 years ago.
I'm glad you said that, Tammy Daughtry, who's the author of Co-Parenting Works, because there are people who are listening to our program right now who have been through this, and we forget Psalm 23 all of a sudden. You know, we stand at the edge of the valley of the shadow of death and think that if we close our eyes, it'll go away. If we cover our ears, we won't have to hear it anymore. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, I'm going to take God's hand, I'm going to walk through this, because you talk about how important this is for co-parents. If you're going to provide that kind of stability for your children, even after a divorce, you have to be healthy. You have to be secure in who you are. And that means you have to have those days where it just, the anxiety, the depression, the doubt, the fear, the sadness just washes over you. I remember my experience. Oh, yeah. My brother asked me one time, he says, how are you doing? I said, I now understand what sadness is all about. Mm. Because, you know, you have those days where you just walk around and it's like mold. You just can't get rid of it, you know? Just, ugh. But there's, you just can't shake it, so you just have to walk through it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I found something in grad school that I was like, oh, it's so simple, but it's so important that people know this. And I wish I'd known this. There's actually a national study that they have shown and proven that people who go through a divorce that first year, in a layman's term, it will be the hardest year of your life. It will be painful. It will be, you'll, you know, suffer and have sorrow. But by year two, most people, if they will put a few intentional efforts into getting stable, most people 2 years post-divorce can actually return to the same place of stability, if not better. Because I don't know if it's physical, emotional, all of it together, there is a time and a way that we heal and we process. And so when I hear from folks that are literally right in that first 3 months of a separation and they literally just cannot see one inch ahead of them, I tell them, mark on your calendar 1 year from today and then mark the second year. and I will walk with you through this journey, and I will help point you to healthy, stable processes. But mark that on your calendar and know that it will not hurt the way it hurts today in 1 year. And it will not hurt the same in two. And God will restore and redeem the things that hurt in our life. He will show up and he will bring good from it. And so many people, they're like, I didn't know that. And I'll show them the chart that's in the book. You know, I'm like, look at this little graph. I'm a visual learner. So when I saw this in grad school, I went, oh, man, that would have been good to know. Mm-hmm. You know, year one, it is going to be the hardest ever. But by the beginning of year, into that second year, you take a turn and you actually are able to adjust and your children can adjust. And by your 2 years in, you're actually, there's a possibility that you can totally, not completely be over it, but you can be at a very positive, healthier place. And so, you know, a few of the quick tips on that, that again, I wish someone would have said to me, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that is very common for parents when they're going through a divorce is, of course, they're hurting. They need to talk. They have a lot of emotion and anger. And the one thing we ask moms and dads, please don't do, is please don't make your kids your counselor.
Right.
It's very common for teenage kids, especially, to be the one that mom or dad or both lean on, that they tell everything to, that they talk about the finances, they talk about the fears of the future. Kids need to be kids, mm-hmm. and they don't need to be the counselor for mom and dad. So what mom and dad need to do, if you can go to counseling, that's a fabulous place to find support and to process, whether it's in your church, it's in the community. The other thing is there's a great organization called Divorce Care. Mm-hmm. You can go to their website, divorcecare.org, put your zip code in, and it will come up with 5 to 100 miles around you, all the churches or community centers that have a divorce care class. Mm-hmm. And I went through that myself, and it really helped me identify that I was on the right path. I was experiencing the roller coaster emotions like I was supposed to. And I had a chance to walk with other people that were in similar, on a similar path as I. And we didn't have the same story, but we had similar pain. And so Divorce Care was a great place to start out and to really get some strength and some stability. And then the other thing that I kind of made up as I went into this myself is I call them my 3 a.m. friends. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I asked, and I say this for men just as much as for women, find 3 people that you can call at 3 a.m. and literally ask them, would you be my 3 a.m. friend? Someone to listen, someone to encourage, someone to give me feedback if I need it. But more than anything, just be that go-to person that I can call if I'm having a hard time with this adjustment, if it's the first Christmas and my kids are going to be gone for a week. Mm-hmm. You know, just having 3 people in your life, whether they live in your community or they live across the country. I had one in Nashville where I live, one in California, best friend since college, and one in Denver. And those were my 3 a.m. friends. And there were probably hundreds of times over the first five years of being a single parent that I did call. And it wasn't always about, you know, parenting or anything. It was just 3 people that were, I was accountable to. As I looked at business opportunities or going to grad school, even it was 3 people that I was dialoguing with about my life. And they were watching from the outside to check in and, you know, be some extra eyes for choices I was making. Mm-hmm. So those are some important things. You know, counseling does take money. And it costs money. So if you can't get to a counselor, find at least 3 healthy people who you can go to and talk to about anything so that you won't respond to your kids or overwhelm your kids with your pain.
Mm. Boy, that's powerful. We've just blown through all of our time here. And Tammy Daughtry, thank you so much for being so very helpful, being so very practical. Mm-hmm. We're going to recommend your book on our site today.
Thank you.
Because it's a resource that parents need to have. And I'm, of course, speaking from personal experience, but also just from the flood of information that, you know, comes our way from people saying help. You know, they're where you were 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to be able to recommend a resource that people can actually put into practice, because it is going to become more common. I mean, co-parenting, as you mentioned, we see the studies that young adults in particular who came out of maybe your story are saying, we're not so sure about the marriage thing, but we really like having a family, you know, mm-hmm. so let's just live together and have kids. And then all of a sudden, well, we're not married, so let's just break up. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, now you've got 2 different households and mm-hmm. you've got these issues to deal with. So you've given us a lot of helpful and hopeful information. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And that concludes my conversation with Tammy Daughtry here on the Homeward Broadcast from the National Center for Co-Parenting. Tips for Successful Co-Parenting is the name of our program today. And Co-Parenting Works is the name of Tammy's book. I highly recommend it, speaking from experience. And it's a winnable war. I mean, it really is. You can, if you put your kids first and say, okay, now that we're not married anymore, what about our kids? What's the best relationship? That's that bedrock principle that every co-parent needs to keep front and center. If you need more information on co-parenting resources, highly recommend that you visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. And please know how much we appreciate your prayers and faithful financial support. If you can support the Ministry of Homeward today with a tax-deductible donation, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693, or call toll-free 800-397-9725. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.